Chapter 24, Iwo Jima. Iwo Jima. "Well, it looks just like a lamb chop," Georgia Boy said, shaking his head. It was February of 1945, and Central Pacific Command had just sent down its orders to the troops. The biggest Marine force ever assembled was going to assault the Japanese stronghold of Iwo Jima, only 600 miles south of Tokyo. I'd just shown Georgia Boy the map that pictured the island, and he was right. The southern end of Iwo Jima was pointed like the exposed end of a bone. There, Mount Suribachi rose 550 feet above the ocean. On top of Mount Suribachi, the Japanese had placed big anti-aircraft guns to shoot at our bombers. Those guns on the mountaintop were accurate and hit many of our planes. The flights our new Boeing B-29 bomber planes were now making from the Marianas Islands to Japan and back were very long. It was a 3,000-mile round trip. The anti-aircraft fire was so tough over Japan that many were shot down or so damaged they couldn't make it back to Guam. For the bombing plan to work, we needed an emergency landing field closer to Japan on their way back. Iwo Jima, Admiral Nimitz decided, was the best place for such an emergency landing field. Of course, we Marines were the ones who'd have to take it. North of Mount Suribachi, the rest of the island widened out. Along the straight area of beach on the southeastern shore of the island was where our Marines would take the first bite of the meat of that lamb chop. But Iwo Jima would bite back. The name of our objective hadn't been mentioned until 2 weeks before the actual invasion date. In training, it was just called Island X, or Workman Island, not Iwo Jima. When I first heard that name, for some reason, a cold feeling went down my spine. I wondered if it was because I was going to die there. Iwo Jima isn't a big island. It's only 4.5 miles long and 2.5 miles wide. Our commanders no longer thought that any small island held by the Japanese would be easy to conquer. But they did believe that what they'd learned from the other island invasions had prepared them for anything our enemies could dish out. For months, the little volcanic island had been attacked by our planes and bombarded by our ships. But instead of weakening their defenses, it made the Japanese stronger. Tunnels and bunkers, pillboxes and artillery positions were dug even deeper. Big cannons and machine gun nests were hidden in caves and tunnels that couldn't be seen from the air. There were 16 miles of tunnel on that one small island. Dummy positions, wooden frames covered by sand and rock, were constructed to draw American fire. The new commander of the island, General Kuribayashi, was determined to fight the Americans in a different way this time. No longer would thousands of Japanese men be thrown at the invading Americans in banzai charges. They wouldn't try to defend the beaches, but would wait instead until the Marines were massed in front of them, and then fire from cover. Their new slogan was summed up in General Kuribayashi's courageous battle vow that was pasted on the walls of every pillbox. "Each man will make it his duty to kill 10 of the enemy before dying. Until we are destroyed to the last man, we shall harass the enemy." Most of the enemy soldiers now wore white bands around their heads, the same kind of headbands worn by Japanese warriors for hundreds of years. They also wore special cotton waistbands under their clothes, made for each soldier by his wife, or his mother, or his sisters. They had a special name for those cotton waistbands: senembari. Cloth of 1,000 stitches. They believed that those senembaris had the power to protect their wearers from being hit by enemy bullets. Sam Littlefingernail was on the troop ship with us. He'd been sitting behind me sharpening his bayonet and listening as I explained what a senembari meant to a Japanese soldier. "Sounds like a ghost shirt," Sam said, a grim smile on his face. He knew what he was talking about. One of his ancestors was a Lakota Indian who went to fight the U.S. Army wearing a special shirt that was supposed to ward off enemy fire. "My great-grandpa wore one of those when he went against the Army," Sam said, the sound of his whetstone against steel punctuating his words. "Go to the Denver Museum. You can see his ghost shirt hanging there. He can even count the holes in it from the bullets that killed him." The senembaris didn't work for the Japanese soldiers on Iwo Jima either. By the end of the battle, more than 20,000 were dead, but so were many of our men.